I'd like to talk about Pakati Sila. Very natural.
Yeah, if we don't see it as very natural, then there can be the wrong idea. Trying to do it and doing it for tambun and all of that, for oneself and for future lives.
I think that usually it's about development of understanding reality.
So sila is
either kusala sila or akusala sila or abhyakata sila, from moment to moment, all
now.
The time.
Yes.
Now, sila is now. Mm-hmm. Other than when, well, it's in the, not at the moment of seeing, but at the moment, at the moments follow the Javanajita process.
Javanajita process.
Yes, so sila is now. It is always, right? The behavior, the natural, normal behavior of the citta.
Kusala or
akusala. Yeah. Or
so avyakata. It's kusala citta now.
It is kusala sila. Akusala citta now is akusala sila. And the point is, if one has an idea of, I will observe sila or I will take the precepts, then it's just an idea of I doing something. It's not kusala sila at those moments. I will abstain from harming. It's not any understanding of what is kusala sila.
Sila is sila anyway, no matter it is akusala or kusala. But when Buddha thought about all realities, he pinpointed what citta, or what we call sila, is what in the absolute reality. Otherwise, people just know about sila, they observe sila, but no understanding of reality at all. That's why each of his words concern or bring about understanding.
Is it that wrong understanding or that misunderstanding of sila that leads people sometimes to think that sila can and should be developed separately from samadhi and banya?
As long as there is no understanding of reality, it must be so. That's why the teachings of the Buddha is so very precious, to really understand reality in order to eliminate the kilesa. Otherwise, nothing can eliminate kilesa at all. It's there. So just live to understand reality, that's all. And panya develops on and on by itself. And by all other sopanacitta seeker.
By all
other sopanacitta seekers.
And when we read about the three kinds of sila and punya kiriya watu, just sila and paying respect, like apachiti, is that how you pronounce it? And the service, Vayabhacha, these kinds of sila, also just referring to kusala moments of kusala chittas of different kinds now?
Whenever chitta is kusala, there are many action or deeds that has been done because of that kusala chitta. At this moment, while we are studying or listening to the teachings, it is kusala, but it's not dana. And it is kusala sila by way of studying them.
No matter whether it's kusala by
way of studying Dharma or being helpful or showing respect. It's just different kinds of kusala sila, different ways of kusala in this moment. Not, I am going to pay respect to have more sila, or at this moment of service, I'm observing sila, nothing like that. Any comments?
I think that life goes on, no matter can stop. citta to arise and falls away. Okay. But who knows that it's not self, and it's citta and jatisikas and rupa. So Buddha enlightened and taught about the truth of life each moment. That's why what we take for sila or dana or whatever are different jitas, in order to know that there's no self. In a day, kusala citta or akusala citta or vipaka citta or kriya citta arises from conditions.
Thana Chan, I would like to know more about the meaning of sila. Sila in Thai means also pakati. But we have pakati sila.
I think that that's the meaning of sila. If you use the word pakati, it has to be citta and cetasika.
And that's also the meaning of sila. But we have the word pakati sila, so it's quite the same meaning. Pakati is
no.
Also sila.
Sila is pakati. Yeah, of citta and cetasika. The behavior of citta and cetasika naturally is sila. Like now, citta and cetasikas arise and fall away by conditions. When it is akusala, and people think about sila, and they think that sila must be only good behavior, but actually at that moment it is akusala sila, because if there is no citta and cetasikas, nothing is there.
Silas mean the behavior of citta.
Right.
Which is, can be kusala or kusala.
Right. And for arhata, abhyagata sila.
And that's normal, that's pakati. Pakati
no,
is that.
No, pakati. Sila, what is it? It means pakati. The natural behavior of citta and cittasikas.
And that's the meaning of sila, because that's what sila is. It is the way that kusala or akusala hitas just behave naturally, arise by their conditions, and are that way, kusala or akusala or abhyakata. So that is what sila is.
Then there's reference to pakati sila, which suggests that sila by itself is not necessarily pakati.
I think that we don't have to use pakati sila. But what is sila? It is the pakati, the natural behavior of citta and cetasika. Otherwise, people just know about the sila like abstaining from such and such, but actually it means the manners or behaviors of citta, cetasika. Natural.
When I read about sila with Charita Sila and Varita Sila, I understand.
The completely. Classification of sila more and more.
Sila is quite confused to me.
We don't need pakati. Sila is pakati.
Because whether talking about Charita Sila or Virati Sila, each one is pakati sila, because each one arises naturally. So any moment or kusala or akusala is pakati. It arises naturally. So even at a moment of virati, a moment of abstaining from harm or paying respect, like these other examples, each one is natural pakati sila.
And if we use pakati sila, what else is not pakati? What sila is not pakati?
No sila is not pakati.
Yeah.
That's why if one refers to some other sila, it means actually it's like a, I think what he means by that other expression is like a conventional idea of sila. When he referred to panyati sila, it's actually not sila. It's just a kind of idea people conventionally have, like people have a conventional idea of what dana is, or they have a conventional idea of what kindness is, but actually the conventional idea is not any understanding of what seeing is.
How come the word Pakati Sila again?
Sorry?
How come the word Pakati Sila? Is that in the book?
It was in the book, yes. It was just referring.
Pakati Sila, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's why usually I do not consult dictionary at all, because who made it? Yeah. Who explained it? The one who does not understand.
Right. For most of the entries, it has a textual reference, and then you can check the reference, fine. But if there's not a reference, then it's not helpful. And there are many mistakes.
It's referred to as genuine.
Sila or Pakati Sila?
Pakati.
Just Sila. One word, Pakati, no Sila. Oh.
Oh, with Sila, Pakati Sila was naturally.
Pakati Sila, mm-hmm. Okay.
Natural morality.
And what morality is not natural?
Well, I mean, that's what you said to begin with.
Yeah.
So. Right. I was just trying to distinguish between what has commonly become known as Sila, which is observing precepts, taking, you know, doing so intentionally, is as distinct from what Sila really is. Sounds like it was.
As there is no understanding of the teachings, mm-hmm. That's why there are many dictionaries about the Buddhism.
Right.
But it depends on the understanding of the one who writes it.
It goes on to say that. Its natural morality, Pakati Sila, as distinguished from the external rules for monks or laymen, the so-called prescribed morality, Punyati Sila.
No understanding. Yeah. The dictionary is dictionary.
What we're talking about, Pakati. So it's a natural immorality is Pakati Sila.
And what is not Pakati?
Not. There's no Pakati. Not Pakati.
Even at a moment
of wrong view of strong akusala citta, it is natural at that moment.
And please read again after that. After Pakati Sila.
So it's genuine or natural morality as distinguished from external rules for monks or laymen, the so-called prescribed morality.
Is that true?
Well, according to what you've just said, it's not true.
According to Vipitaka, Patisamhitamaka, Kusa Sila, Akusala Sila, and Abhyagata Sila. If you observe some monk's rule, is it different from natural behavior of citta, which is kusala at that moment?
Well, it's just kusala at that moment.
So, not kusala different at all. Yeah. Even you are layman and you follow the rule, the same, because from monks 227, but we can do, we can observe, or we can follow any as much as we can. And it is Pakati Sila. But you see, we don't need to use the word Pakati. Because there are Akusala Sila, and Avyagata Sila covers all jittas.
Talks about observing
a rule like not slurping one's drink or one's soup. Actually, just different jittas, moments of kusala, moments of akusala, that's also. Kusala sila, kusala sila. Otherwise, we're just talking about a situation of not slurping one's drink. Actually, just different cheetahs. One talks about not killing an ant, but so many different cheetahs involve kusala and akusala.
So the word Pakati Sila is in dictionary.
Bhajan. And the people change the behavior by listening to the Dhamma of can the people change the behavior from bad to good by listening to the Dhamma?
Just listen?
Yes, the
only
teaching.
Listening?
Yes.
Only listening. No understanding. Or it is the understanding from hearing.
Yes, by listening and understanding the behavior.
Understanding sees what's right and what's wrong, what is kusala and akusala.
Yes.
And the right understanding itself performs its function. It does not follow the wrong because it knows.
So if the people have the right understanding, the behavior will change by
expectation
itself.
Or understanding performs its function in all situations.
Okay.
Just learn to understand, that's all.
Yes.
But if one expects or assumes that after listening to Dhamma then there will be some changes, then it's lobha or expecting, not understanding with detachment what is conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Or if one thinks that because of listening I will change,
mm-hmm.
then it's not appreciating, it's not I who can change anything. It's just understanding.
Right, yes.
Does its work naturally, but not with any expectation.
Right.
Yes. If one thinks I have listened or someone has listened and therefore their behavior should be like this or that, that's not understanding. Because it's expecting, assuming, clinging to the idea of I will be a better person or they will be a better person.
So considering is really important when to make way to understanding too.
There has to be a lot of very, very careful considering because just hearing isn't enough. It's the careful considering that leads to understanding and more understanding.
Okay.
And that's why questioning is important too.
People can change behavior for the better, but for wrong reasons. For example, a person may change their behavior because of a desire for a happy rebirth in the next life, which is just attachment to the result. So what we have been talking about here over the last few days is behavior of citta. Kusala citta, akusala citta, avyakata citta. So what is important in the development of the path is not a person's behavior as observed by the rest of the world, but it's the development of kusala citta. And for that, it is necessary to hear the teachings and consider them at depth. Because otherwise one can hear about precepts and behavior and having metta and so forth and just think it concerns bodily conduct. So giving more money or dana or more often, things like that, which is really nothing to do with the development of kusala that the Buddha taught about.
If you study and you normalize, you have to meet the people. And when you meet the people, you got to do something in terms of helping the people.
What you do depends, the quality of what you do depends on the citta. So we don't have to think about should I do A or B, but it's all about developing wholesomeness, because when the citta is wholesome, then the deed is right, is wholesome at that moment. So what did the Buddha say about harming being harmful to oneself or others. He said that gusala, agusala, is harmful to oneself and harmful to others. And he said that gusala is not harmful to oneself and not harmful to others. But he didn't talk about behavior being harmful or not harmful. Bodily behavior.
And why do we talk about the kusala sila, akusala sila, apiyagata sila? Just to understand that there is no self at all. Or the teachings of the Buddha come to understand the reality as no self.
To hear at all about realities now, like seeing now, visible object now, because there's so much clinging to a self and to the idea of changing their behavior or their personality. So they think in daily life maybe they get angry with their friends or they have a lot of attachment, so they think they should better go to a quiet meditation center and really work on changing their behavior. And to all outward appearances, they look very quiet and calm and peaceful, and they don't get angry anymore, and they don't seem to have so much attachment to delicious food. But it's all the wrong path. So even though no harming of other people, and their speech may be very kind and courteous, but it's all wrong path, because it's all my behavior, my good deeds, my change of personality. No understanding at all about Dharma as anatta. So if we would like to help others, what is most precious is developing understanding and thereby developing confidence that this is all that is important in life. And then we share as best we can if there are opportunities to share with others, because one knows it's the greatest gift in life, the greatest value to anyone, understanding that there really is no self, no my behavior to change or not change, just different conditioned dharmas at this moment.
I used to think that way, like when I listened to Ajahn, and when I came back home in here, and just listen and study, and that had the imagination that imagine that I think I know, and the facts, I doesn't know anything. Even I listen, because I find out that when I go out to meet the people, and then after have a few conversation with them, I come back home, I still angry. That how I see that if I not change myself, I'm not trying to change my habit to make understanding the people, whatever they say, it's not there anymore. To understand at the moment I spoke to them, and even at the moment I understand right now at the present, and everywhere I go I start to understand that is the present I should understand, and I have less anger and become more understand about the Buddha teaching more.
The main point to understand in the Buddha's teaching is it's not I who can change my personality, or I who has a personality, or I who get angry with the people, or I who come here to develop understanding. No I at all, just different dharmas like we're discussing, kusala jitas, akusala jitas, vipaka jitas, no I anywhere to be found.
when, for example, at a moment of anger, a moment of understanding at that moment is more precious than anything else, than having metta or anything else, just a moment of understanding of what is conditioned naturally. So it's not coming here for I to understand more or for I to help people or I to change my personality. It's to develop detachment from any idea of I, to understand it's only Dharma, not my personality at all.
I think you've spoken quite a lot over the last couple of days about changes for the better in your behavior after coming into contact with the Dhamma. And of course, this is something for us to rejoice in, because presumably it means more kusala. But just want to emphasize that the real change, the change of real benefit, is the change in the citta from akusala to kusala, rather than the behavior. The citta cannot be known from the outward behavior. The moral quality, whether kusala or akusala, of the citta can only be known if that understanding has been developed. And that is why we talk about understanding jittas as they arise, because jitta is one Dhamma. And when there is better understanding of the moments of kusala and the moments that are akusala, there is less concern about the bodily behavior. One doesn't have to think about whether the behavior is this or that, or how to behave, because the kusala jitta motivates the bodily or speech action. Does that make sense?
Can I ask you, is this correct or not? To understand right now, at the present, is kusala or kusala that right now, at the present time. So whenever I going out somewhere, I always look at akusala or kusala at that moment. So it is normal to study the citta.
And then we come back to the question of natural awareness, naturally arising awareness.
Yes.
Yes. Obviously, awareness develops gradually. So we cannot be aware of the citta at will, by choosing to be aware of it, by wanting to be aware of it, even by thinking about whether the citta now is kusala or akusala. So it's not a question of focusing on the citta, but nor is it a question of being concerned about the behavior. It's a question of gradually coming to understand more about the quality of the kusala jitta. For example, you ask about, do I focus on the jitta to see whether it's kusala or agusala? How would it be known whether the jitta was kusala or agusala?
No, after you have the conversation with the people, you know right away that people, the anger is there or not, because the anger is one of the cetasik, right? And when it anger is there, do you know that is the Dhamma, is not you? If you just beginning understand that it's a Dhamma, it's not you, that you can, the behavior can go in the good direction.
Yes, but everyone can know strong anger. It doesn't need a Buddha's teaching to tell us about recognizing when we are angry in a strong way, in an obvious way.
Right, that the people who did not study.
Whether they've heard the Dhamma or not, they can know if anger is apparent, It doesn't need the hearing of the Dhamma for that.
Okay, so we come to the conclusion to study, just to understand that at the present time, we should focus on kusala or akusala to understand that this is the major topic of our study. So come to my conclusion.
No, sorry, I was asking. And you signaling to me? The hand signals.
Akusala sila. Akusala sila. Hand signal.
Right. Should we focus? Well, should we?
Yes.
Why?
Can you repeat that again one more time?
You asked me, should we focus on the citta to see whether it's kusala or akusala? I'm saying, should we? Is that
understanding will develop to understand more about kusala or akusala. Right now, What we here for is that my question is.
We are here to hear and consider more about the dhammas of the present moment.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
One of those dhammas is citta,
right,
which may be kusala or akusala.
Yes.
Or maybe vipaka, if it's seeing consciousness. We don't need to choose one or other to focus on, because any dhamma can be object of awareness. Visible object appears now, right?
Yes.
It can be object of awareness, if the conditions are appropriate.
Yes.
Is it useful to have awareness of visible object?
It will come natural.
Mm-hmm. Is it worthwhile?
Yes.
Because?
At least when the awareness is there, did it? I'm talking about the true thing. When it's here, that will protect you to do, will protect you not to do any bad thing.
No. Awareness of visible object doesn't protect you from akusala.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Right,
we're talking
right.
about developing awareness and understanding of dhammas. We're not talking about having more kusala so I can behave better. Mm-hmm. So what is the value of awareness of, say, visible object or sound?
The value is to recognize that the visible object is just appear and disappear quickly. Mm.
It's just an element.
Uh-huh.
Is that useful to know that?
Oh, yes. That because, in my mind already.
Because what is more useful, a moment of awareness of visible object or a moment of kusala citta that conditions good behavior?
First, you have to understand the visible object first. And then the behavior will come after understand the visible.
I don't think there's any order. There's no special order of awareness or understanding. But awareness of visible object is one kind of kusala. And kusala citta that conditions good bodily action is another kind of kusala. They are both kusala, but they are different levels of kusala. Kusala bodily action is kusala at the level of dana or sila. Kusala citta that is aware of visible object is kusala of the level of bhavana. So that's the difference.
So right now, I'm sorry, you know, the outside
noise
start to interfere with my hearing.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry, I could not get you the answer.
Hand signal.
I think Jonathan has said it very clearly that it's the understanding of the realities at the present moment as being anatta that is going to lead to more and more understanding. That it is not the changing of one's behavior. And one cannot go looking for or trying to catch moments of kusala or akusala or seeing or visible object because they can't be caught. Only understanding, which will arise after hearing and considering the Dhamma. And it does not mean sitting down and saying, okay, now I'm going to consider, I'm going to read a book, and I'm going to consider. The considering will happen naturally as well. It can arise naturally through one's daily living. And the more hearing and considering and consequent understanding, the more one can recognize what is the right path and what is the wrong path. And it takes time for all of this to happen. A lot of time. I think if we go at this wanting to change behavior, or we find our behavior changed, then who is happy about the change in behavior? The self. I like myself better. There is more kusala. And that is going to arise naturally because of conditions until understanding continues to grow. So it's very, very subtle. I think people can go through various stages of thinking they understand and thinking there is more awareness than there was before. But without a lot of hearing of the Dhamma and considering and asking questions, without that, there will not be enough banya to actually know when awareness is arising or when there is some understanding. You've mentioned going out and being with the people, like it's a test of how much understanding there might be, or how much kusala there might be. And again, I think that one is led by a thought of self, how much kusala has been developed. And really, it's only the understanding at the moment, including the moments you are out with other people, that are the important ones. And being out with other people, yes, conventionally we know when somebody is angry. We have things that we've learned since we were young that tell us someone is angry. But it's not their jitta that need to be known. It's one's own jitta, and I don't mean that as in possessing the jitta. We cannot know others' jitta. We can only know our own. So I think one has to be very careful about whether there are moments of thinking with right understanding and thinking with wrong understanding. They are different.
So you study Dhamma in order to change your behavior, or what?
I think the behavior.
No, the point is whether you study Dhamma in order to change your behavior or not.
No.
Study Dhamma for.
To understand what the Buddha teaching.
Yeah. Don't mind whether you deal right. with people,
yeah.
anywhere. Mm-hmm.
And if one studies to understand the Buddha's teachings, one isn't concerned about my behavior, whether it will improve, because at those moments of thinking like that, actually it's not just for the sake of understanding, it's for oneself, because one wants to be a good person. So it's different from when one just studies in order to understand the teachings for the sake of understanding. No thought of, will I be a better person? Will I become enlightened? Will it lead to better relations with people? The purpose is just for the sake of understanding. And I think we need to consider what is the meaning of study. Because before you mentioned about study in terms of focusing on anger or focusing on visible object. This is not study at all. Study means just understanding naturally, not trying to be aware, not focusing on anything, no matter whether there's anger or attachment or seeing of visible object, just normal, natural, daily dharmas, and there can be understanding any time with detachment, not thinking I should focus on this to get this one or to understand this one or not have that one. That is not study, the Buddha's teaching about study. It's I doing something again, those times, trying to catch the reality. So it has to be very natural right from the beginning, without any expectation of will my behavior be this way or that way. Just understanding for the sake of understanding, and confidence develops that that's the only way.
Don't you want to understand your accumulation?
Say again, Ajahn.
Don't you want to understand your accumulation?
Yes.
Do you want to understand your accumulation?
Or accumulation is come with the...
It is this moment.
I beg your pardon?
It is this moment.
This moment?
In order to understand one's own accumulation, it must be at this moment.
Yes, Ajahn, yes. Get to listen.
Different realities, no self at all. When anger arises, it's your accumulation, a dhamma, okay. a reality.
Yes.
Would you like to stop it? Would you like to stop it?
Would you like to...
Stop it.
Stop?
Like not have anger.
Oh no, we cannot control it. It is not that. But...
Would you like it to go away?
No. The understanding will help him. Not I.
You said you're not interested in stopping anger, even though it will condition unwholesome behavior?
Say again, the last word?
Unwholesome behavior.
Unwholesome behavior?
Mm-hmm. Anger conditions unwholesome behavior, right?
Right.
Because earlier you were very concerned about the behavior being wholesome, but now you're saying you're not bothered if you have anger.
Yes.
You see, there's a...
What I said before, unwholesome behavior or the anger, lately, it not bother me too much anymore. I'm not,
So, in short, no matter what
the reality, what the accumulation, no matter whether there's strong anger now, or little anger, or no anger, or kindness, or friendliness, no matter what it is, it's just an element, just conditioned dharma, not mine, not anyone's. So when there is study, not focus, not try to have, not try to stop, just whatever is conditioned can be known at this moment. Very naturally.
Yeah, I think once you're understanding, it can stop the anger by itself, not I try to do. This with it happened to me a lot of time, like when I go out to do some paperwork with the government, I found out that every time I come back home, I got a lot of anger at them because they ask too many questions, they want this, they want that. Okay, that is the dukkha, right, in Ariya Sati. Because when the anger is the dukkha or tukkha, okay? But once I learn, understand that how that it happened, it got to happen before my behavior. If I prepare the document for them, whatever they ask, what, how much time they need, just be prepared and stay with them. And lately, I found out that I come home with no anger. That is the norm. It is not the right way to study. Okay, but to see that if I believe that once I understand the Buddha teaching, that helping me to consider. To have the consideration about what happened right there.
Right now, there's
no one's very angry, and maybe there's moments of metta. Is metta dukkha?
Yes, metta can happen too.
Is metta dukkha? Because you said anger is dukkha. Is metta dukkha?
Metta is not dukkha.
Every conditioned reality is dukkha.
It's different. Yeah, metta is different than dukkha.
It's dukkha. Seeing is dukkha. Visible object is dukkha. Metta is dukkha. Understanding is dukkha. Because it arises, it falls away. It doesn't last for an instant. Mm-hmm. And there's clinging to, oh, I'm glad I've come back and I'm not angry and I'm happy. There's clinging to kindness, clinging to understanding, clinging to whatever is conditioned. That's why every conditioned dharma is dukkha.
Okay.
Even metta, because there can be, you behave politely and nicely to the government officials and you come home and you're so happy, there's no anger and everything worked smoothly. The metta is dukkha, the attachment to that metta is dukkha. Understanding now is dukkha, not worth clinging to for an instant.
At this moment, what do you stay with?
Ajahn, can you speak a little bit louder?
Because you stay with all the time.
Yeah. So you mentioned several times
that you stay with good feeling, or you stay with kindness, or you stay with not getting angry. What do you stay with now?
Stay with now. I stay with at this moment right now.
It's you who stay.
At the present time, it's still me. I stay.
So you keep on. I will stay with such and such all the time.
Okay.
Not understanding dharma that is conditioned at this moment.
Okay, yes.
When we were talking the other day about Samuti and Samuti Satcha, I just want to check it's clear. This is a class, so this is Samuti, but it's not Samuti Satcha. Visible object is Samuti Satcha, but glass is just Samuti. And Samuti Desana
about
Samuti Satcha. So this talking about visible object is Samuti Desana. And
samuti vacha, just speech about that is
that which everyone agrees.
Everyone agrees. So this is a glass, is samuti vacha, as opposed to paramata vacha. And bohara is about reality, so conventional term about
with our samuti satcha, no one can understand.
Stand, right. So it is samuti satcha. So the difference between samuti satcha and bohara, samuti
because everyone has one's own bohara, style of speech.
Style of speech, right. But I think that everyone has their own bohara, but isn't it referring to their way of speech about dhammas, about
to
reality?
To explain samuti satcha.
To explain samuti satcha, right.
To explain paramattha satcha through samuti satcha.
Through samuti satcha, because we have to use language and panyati in order to converse.
Explain paramata
bohara
is used to explain in our own way about samuti satcha,
about paramata dhammas,
or about anything. If it's not about paramata satcha, it is one's own style of speech.
Okay. What was the first
satcha is always about paramata
dhammas. Yes, yes. What was the first you mentioned? Samuti desana.
That is
or an explanation about samuti, like this is a glass and this is a table.
Explaining about samuti.
So not necessarily about samuti satcha.
So bahara, not necessarily.
One's own way of speaking, not necessarily about paramatta dhammas, can be about samuti or paramatta dhammas. Any other terms? Well, panyati concepts, ideas. So different from samuti, because samuti, this is conventionally agreed, it's a glass. But panyati, just when there's an impression or an idea, not necessarily in words at all. Like we talked the other day about even a snake, as soon as it's seen visible object as thinking of panyati, but no use of samuti's conventional terms. But if the object is not a reality, it is panyati.
I'm just thinking of Kunpurnya. I think the Dhamma is very difficult. I don't think it's easy. And we are very easily seduced into practicing or focusing, or the human mind is very clever at devising techniques and ways to hasten things or to quicken our understanding. And the Dhamma is different to that, you know. And I just think we have to be very, very patient in that conventional sense with listening and considering, and even it's very tricky. The nature of the mind is very tricky, and it's good to become, I feel, aware of how tricky we can become with wanting to push understanding and to make it grow more quickly. It's difficult, but if we are patient and learn to listen and consider, then I think that's really helpful. But listening to you sometimes, I'm aware of how patient we need to be.
Shall we study Dhamma from that book? Yes, one word we can talk about in order to understand reality, if there is no other subject.
Okay, I'll tell you one word that whenever I look at any
dictionary or recently a large encyclopedia from Sri Lanka, which it took them years and years to produce. And I always look at Ayatana because they always misunderstand it. So if you look at Ayatana, no understanding at all, for example. And another is Pa.
Otherwise, people can study the teachings from dictionary.
Every time I've looked at that dictionary, it has been very unsatisfactory. Sometimes even where the explanations are quite good, but it does not put it into the context of now.
Actually,
it's a dictionary.
I've used this dictionary for over 40 years, and I think it's very helpful, and because it has a lot of good references. So for most entries, it gives you a good reference, and I think it's been extremely helpful. But there are some serious errors, like under Ayatana or Eightfold Path. Path, it talks about as steps.
That's why only look up in dictionary is not enough.
No, certainly not. It's not a way to necessarily study or learn anything. At the same time, if one hears a term and one has no idea what this term might mean and they can't follow the conversation well because of the ignorance of the term, sometimes the dictionary can be somewhat useful. But
for whom?
Well, for the listener.
For whom? The beginner or not the beginner?
Probably, perhaps the beginner.
I don't think that dictionary can help the beginner because it's just only explain some word that people can understand. Not clearly, like the teachings of the Buddha. For example, Ayatana, shall we go on? What is there?
Well, there's quite a lot there for Ayatana.
Okay.
Do you want me to read that?
Yeah. Is there now Ayatana?
Yes.
So, okay. If nobody knows, can that person follow the dictionary? If they do not have the foundation of understanding Paramattha Dhamma at all.
No.
Well, no.
They look under Ayatana there, they would just, it won't help at all.
No. Ayatana, so not under, it has a number of different sections. So under the first section, it's spheres. Is a name for the four immaterial absorptions, see jhana. 2, the 12 bases or sources on which depend the mental processes consists of 5 physical sense organs and consciousness, being the 6 personal acihatika bases and 6 objects, the so-called external bahari bases, namely eye, or visible organ, ear or auditory organ, nose or olfactory organ, tongue or gustatory organ, body or tactile organ, mind base or consciousness, and visible object, sound, odor, taste, body impression, mind object. Then it goes on to explain what these terms by visible organ. Kakayatana is meant the sensitive part of the eye, kakopasada, built up of the 4 elements responding to sense stimuli.
I think that many monks have read the book and wrote many books, like Yanasiya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very widely.
So,
shall I go on?
It can be object of study now to understand Ayatana, because from reading one cannot understand it at all if there is no foundation of Paramattha Dhamma.
So I'm found it useful, but I wouldn't say that I was anything other than a beginner.
So, are you interested in talking about Ayatana now? It covers all the teachings of the Buddha.
In this definition, it doesn't mention at all about the meeting or the associating of different dharmas together, the main point, and when it goes on actually to talk about dhammayatanas, it just talks about them as mental objects, including concepts. So it doesn't indicate at all that it's the meeting, the associating of paramatta dharmas by conditions. No. It, under dhammayatana, when it goes on, it talks about dhammayatana's mental objects like dhammaramana, and it includes concepts, so it indicates it's not understood at all.
Because just say that there are only four paramatta dharmas is not enough. So Buddha taught more and more about realities, different citta, rupa, and so on, as dhatu, or as ayatana, or as paticchasamuppada, or as ariya satta. In order to see or understand better and better that each reality cannot be taken for self at all. For example, what can be ayatana is only when they are not fallen away yet.
Now have arisen and associate together and not yet fallen away. It is ayatana, it is the meeting of those dharmas together. As soon as those dharmas have fallen away, not ayatana, because they don't meet or associate together. So for example, like now, at a moment of seeing visible object, there is the meeting of visible object, which is impinged on eye sense and seeing consciousness, and there also need to be the mental factors, the chetasikas that arise with seeing, which are included under dhammayatana. So it's not the objects, but these are the dharmas that are there at that moment, which have all arisen already at that moment and meet like on the tip of a pin or a needle head. They meet at that one instant and then they all fall away. But at that moment of meeting or associating together, it is, they are ayatanas, no one involved to make them meet. Each one has arisen by its particular conditions and associates together at that instant. At a moment of anger, a moment of thinking with anger, there is the moment of experiencing the citta which has arisen. There is the anger which has arisen with it. So there is that association at that moment. So at that moment they are ayatanas. Realities about paramatta dharmas at this moment, not concepts.
And it's now, see, if Buddha didn't teach about all these as just a moment, it's conditioned from many, many conditions. How can there be the development of becoming detached from taking it for I or thing? That's why he taught about realities in different manners, different ways, on and on and on, through 45 years. Only a moment and split seconds, that's all.
About how miraculous it is, just those, the associating of those particular dharmas at that moment for the experience of seeing to occur now, or thinking of anger now, because there has to be that associating of those dharmas that have risen by conditions for that instant, very miraculously, and then all fallen away, never to arise again. And that's what ayatana is.
Ayatana, each moment. While one is fast asleep, is the chakku prasatha ayatana. See? while one is fast asleep, can the chakku prasatha be ayatana? Ayatana. It doesn't meet.
It doesn't meet.
So it's not ayatana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even now, at moment of thinking, because there's no seeing, so at that moment, even though I sense it's arising and falling away all the time, but there's no meeting, no conditions for seeing to occur.
So the world or any reality is only the arising and falling away of realities by conditions in split seconds, that's all. Otherwise there must be the idea of seeing nimitta as someone, something all the time.
Miraculous. It really is like a miracle.
Certainly.
It really is.
Very skillful. By nature, because Rupa does not know anything at all, and Chitta is conditioned to arise to form its function. That's all. Seeing just arises to see. Hearing just arises to hear. It's so fast.
All the conditions are not in
place, like eye senses there, but if no impingement of visible object on eye sense, no seeing, then no ayatana, no meeting. So all the conditions have to be there at that moment, like under Dhammayatana, Nibbana is listed, but if no experience of Nibbana, then it's not ayatana at this moment.
It's same with the Jetasika. If no pasa, no experience of visible object.
Pasa has to arise at
every moment, so it does. Always pasa.
It has to arise at
every with moment. Every citta.
It does, but if I guess where I'm going, it's in my mind completely. If it didn't arise for some reason, there's no seeing.
Nibbana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrongly thought that if there was no pasa, you would be dead, but still, no, there would be pasa.
Moment, any life.
Are these seven jetasika
that arise with each jitta inseparables? Yes, okay, just like the root, the inseparable Mahabuddha root.
Just refer to them as universal chetasika, so it means that they arise at every moment with every citta and condition each other and condition the citta.
What about just arising together?
Thinking about rupa, we talk about the eight inseparables. But that's the same, isn't it? Just conditioned to arise, condition each other and condition to arise.
But it's a little
together.
Bit different, because when we're talking about the eight inseparable rupas, we're referring to the rupas in a kalapa. So
okay.
With mental factors, no kalapa, or so we don't usually use that word. We just say they arise together,
no,
and
they're no.
universal, they arise with each citta.
Yeah, no kalapa, but they must arise with each citta. So
by conditions.
Yes.
From ayatana to what? We have talked about ayatana.
Be or to be. A, ayatana,
be. Oh, look at the path, eightfold path, if you want.
Okay, yeah, eightfold path.
If you want to open a can of worms.
By words, it doesn't help to understand reality. Just remembering.
It's concepts, which is the worst part. Yeah.
That's just talks about like
Ayatana's mental objects and that's.
Line by line.
Magga, path. The four supermundane paths, Lokuttara Magga, see Arya Pugala. Two, the Eightfold Path, Athanagika Magga, is the path leading to the extinction of suffering, i.e., the last of the Four Noble Truths, namely, right view, samadhi, right thought, samasankappa, these are under wisdom, panya, right speech, samavaka, right bodily action, samakamata, right livelihood, samajiva, this is under morality, sila, right effort, samavayama, right mindfulness, samasati, and right concentration, samasamadhi. And these are grouped in concentration, samadhi. One, right view or right understanding, samadhi, is the understanding of the Four Noble Truths about the universality of suffering, unsatisfactoriness, of its origins, its cessation, and the path leading to that sensation. See the discourse on right understanding. Two, right thought, samasankappa. Thoughts free from sensuous desire, from ill will and cruelty. In reality, however, the links 3 to 5 constituting moral training, sila, are the first three links to be cultivated. Yeah. Then the links 6 through 8 constituting mental training, samadhi, and the last right view, etc., constituting wisdom, panya. So this is something
it's
we've
just
been.
The idea everywhere.
Yeah. It is, however, true that a really unshakable and safe foundation to the path is provided only by right view, which, starting from the tiniest germ of faith and knowledge, gradually, step by step, develops into penetrating insight, vipassana, and thus forms the immediate condition for the entrance into the four supermundane paths and fruits of holiness, and for the realization of nibbana. Only with regard to this highest form of supramundane insight may we indeed say that all the remaining links of the path are nothing but the outcome and the accomplishments of right view. Regarding the mundane Lokya Eightfold Path, however, it links may arise without the first link, right view. Here it must also be emphasized that the links of the path not only do not arise one after the other, as already indicated, but also that they, at least in part, arise simultaneously as inseparably associated mental factors in one and the same state of consciousness. Thus, for instance, all circumstances, at least four links, are inseparably bound up with any karmically wholesome consciousness, namely 2, 6, 7, and 8, which are right thought, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So that as soon as any one of these links arises, the three others also do. On the other hand, right view is not necessarily present in every wholesome state of consciousness. Magga is one of the 24 conditions, see Pakaya. And that's all it has to say about Magga.
That's why Buddhist teaching is not like other subject at all. It has to be from Tipitaka and commentaries only.
How this step-by-step view of the path came about, and it must have been through misunderstandings from a way back about the path, because it's become completely prevalent in places like Sri Lanka, and it sounds like in Burma as Thailand too, and certainly in Burma.
It must be right. Part of the monastic approach to the study of Dhamma, I think.
In Thailand, they study Pali language, but not Tipitaka, not commentary. Just talk about the Four Noble Truths very briefly, like naming the four, so on.
The point of studying Pali is to read the text written in Pali?
Yes, but after that, no studying. And the common idea spreads all over the world. That's why there are meditation centers.
Even though they read the Tipitaka and the commentaries in Pali, like in Burma and Sri Lanka, like these monks, they very excellent Pali, they read the commentaries in Pali, but still wrong understanding, because it's still the idea of I can do, so I will do sila first and then samadhi, then panya, like this.
They are not like people in the Buddha's time, the Savaka. They had accumulated lots of panya enough to understand his teachings.
When they read texts like
Sudhimagga and even the Tika to the Sudhimagga, and they read the section on Sila and then Samadhi and Panya, but all misunderstood too.
So the Tipitaka and the commentaries can be books for those who have understood. Understanding reality enough to read it.
So often before there is understanding, and I think that breeds this
thinking
raft for those with wrong understanding.
It has to be this moment when there is this study, the teachings, there must be right now. No matter it's about Ayatana or Khanda or Paramadhamma, because realities are there all the time to be studied yourself.
I have a question about
at Khanda. There are many different meanings, like Khanda, as we discussed about the arising and falling away of Dharma now, like hardness now, Rupa Khanda, because it's risen and fallen away instantly.
visible object now, another Rupa Kanda. And there's another meaning I came across. I think it's Dharma Kanda, referring
Sila Kanda,
Smadhi Kanda, Panya Kandas.
And meaning, but without Kanda, there cannot be
these other the group, right? And when it's Dharma Kanda, and I saw it in connection with referring to the 84,000 parts of the Buddha's teaching, and there it just refers to all the
refers to this sutta. How many Dharma Kanda? Yeah, so all together.
And why are they called Kanda in that sense of Dharma Kanda?
Group.
Just a group.
Just means a group of dharmas in that context, and when it's sila kanda, it's just referring to any kind of.
I think that sila. The word kanda conforms because without the arising of any kanda, there cannot be any group at all, no matter in what way.
And so, if it is
sila kanda, like we say, sila is kusala, kusala avikarta. So any kind of citta is. Sila Kanda.
When we talk about sila, it has to be citta cetasika.
Right. Yeah. And Panya Kanda, then any kind of understanding, any citta with understanding is Panya, Panya Kanda. Kanda.
Yeah. Because there are many degrees of Panya as well. So no matter is Pariyati or Patipati or Pativeda, all about Panya Kanda.
Samadhi
actually. Ikagata arises with each citta, so there is samadhi at each moment, but when it's referring to samadhi kanda,
it includes all kinds of samadhi.
All samadhi, even akusala, any samadhi.
The group of samadhi.
The group of samadhi.
Kanda, all levels of panya.
Right.
And sati kanda?
Depends, same. If you'd like. It doesn't matter. It's not restricted. Like,
no, you cannot see that.
Say this or you cannot say that. It depends on understanding.
Yeah. So Satikanda as well.
If you like. Because Sati is Kanda.
Yes.
No need to talk Sati.
Okay. So we don't need to say Kanda for these things.
Kanda is used.